thinking this morning how thankful I am for prayer, to be able to speak to God, talk to Him about our burdens and concerns and our needs. I want to thank everyone here for your prayers for me. I feel like the Lord has helped me. I'm better. Thank the Lord for being able to feel better. I have ongoing health needs, and I just ask the Lord to help with those needs. But I appreciate the things the Lord has done. I appreciate the prayers that have gone up in my behalf here and wherever those prayers may be. I know sometimes these messages make it out on the Church of God preaching site, and from there they go many different directions. So this morning, I would like to say thank you for anyone and to anyone who has mentioned my name in prayer. I'm very grateful for that. A little burden I have on my heart this morning. Enough. Full. Recently, Brother Chad brought a message concerning, I think, Genesis 32, and I hope I'm not going to be repeating anything that he brought to the congregation, because I haven't listened to the message that he brought, kind of the nuts and bolts of it. But I'd like to begin first in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 15. I'd like to read a couple of verses before we begin the real burden of the message. Proverbs 15:15 says this: "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." One person translated that last phrase as this: a contented mind is a continual feast. To have a worried, constantly worried mind and attitude brings difficulty. If you're constantly worried and your mind is in constant turmoil, it's hard to be able to have peace and to be able to just enjoy much of anything, because always gnawing in your mind is difficulty, trouble. But the writer here said, "He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Now, I'm satisfied that Christ came so that you and I could have a continual feast, so that we could have a contented mind. That doesn't mean that all the circumstances of life are going to be wonderful. But He came to bring a peace that He said is beyond understanding, beyond comprehension. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." So He has a peace that transcends everything in this world. That if we have Christ, and if we have peace in our soul, in our inner man, that should also be in the mind, and it should be able to be a part of our daily life, so that I can be thankful and I can have a contented mind, and even though there may be trouble, still I can find contentment in the things I see around me, because I know who's in control. And then in 2 Corinthians, it's a verse I'd like to read. The Apostle Paul, chapter 6, verse 10. "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Now this morning, I'd like for us to consider these two words I've written on the board, enough and full. In this glass, there is enough. There is enough to take care of the need for this morning. There is enough. Is it full? No. It's not full. It's to right about here. If it were full, it'd be all the way to the very top. So there's a difference between enough and full. I think of those who have livestock, animals, chickens, rabbits, goats, whatever you have. If you're going to be gone for a few days, you want to make sure that there is enough water, provender for them, for those few days. If you're going to be gone for a couple of days, maybe it's not necessary to have the water tank full. But you look at it to see if there is enough. And if there is enough, that's good enough. But if you're going to be gone for a week, you want to see to it that it is full. You want to make sure that there is not just enough, but it's full. And there is a real difference between these two words, and we're about to read a passage here where I think, I pray that the Lord will help us this to come to light in our minds, to know the difference between enough and full. Because two characters that we're going to read about. Now we're going to read in Genesis 33, beginning with verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. This is about Jacob meeting up with Esau. Now, let's get back just to a very quick history here. Jacob had been a rascal. Well, that's the truth. Jacob had been a rascal. Laban had been a rascal. Esau had been a rascal. All three of these men had connived and worked around Esau. For whatever reason, felt like he was about to starve to death. And Jacob, taking advantage of that opportunity, seized on the opportunity to talk him out of selling his birthright for what? A bowl of beans? Not much. So Jacob did all kinds of things. And even in his dealings with Laban, he was working with the way with the cattle where he had a plan and a scheme that he devised with certain sticks and things that he would use when the cattle were breeding to cause them to be plain or ring straight. And he'd made an agreement with Laban about when they come out this way, they're mine. They come out this way, they're yours. And somehow he had devised a scheme to where when the cattle were born, everything turned his way. And which was good for him. But the truth of the matter is, folks, Jacob was a schemer. Laban was too. Jacob had a grievance against Laban. He said, "You've changed my wages 10 times over these years that I've worked for you. I worked for Rachel. You told me I could have her. And after the time I worked on your farm for her, when it came time, I got Leah. And now I have worked these other years, and finally I got Rachel. And now you said, all these things I've done, you've changed my wages 10 times. And he finally said, came to the point, said, "I'm out of here." And he left. And that's where we're about to pick up here. Before we do, we remember that as Jacob was on his way, he found out that Esau was coming to meet him.
Esau and Jacob were not on the best of terms when they parted. All right? So they're going to come up and meet each other. Jacob wrestled all night long with angel, man, whatever it was an agent of God. That's who Jacob wrestled with all night. And as he wrestled with him, as the daybreak came, the agent of God said, "Turn me loose." Jacob said, "I'll not do it until you bless me. I'm not going to turn you." Jacob was a rough character. Obviously, being able to hang on like he did all night long, and this agent of God was a rough character too, being able to hang on all night long. I don't know what this wrestling was. I don't know if they tumbled and rolled. I don't know if they pinned each other. I don't know what it was. But I just know the Scripture says he wrestled all night long. And daybreak, the agent of God says, "Turn me loose. I'm not doing it until you bless me." Well, Jacob got a blessing. He got a blessing from God, and he said, "No more will your name be called Jacob." As was mentioned in the message the other evening, a new name. It's now Israel. So, a prince with God. So that's where we pick up our story. Jacob has now had his name changed. Esau knows nothing of that. Laban knows nothing of that. But here, verse 1 of chapter 33, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. Now, I don't know how many men Jacob had, but apparently Esau outnumbered him with 400 men. So Jacob, he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after her, and Rachel and Joseph undermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Now, the Scripture doesn't say so here in so many words, but in just a few more verses down, obviously, Jacob had sent with this ambassage before him, had sent gifts, had sent presents. What those were, we don't know. But he sent things ahead, because Esau makes mention of it. So he sent these things with these 4 different groups. And as he is meeting with Esau, he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" He said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore have I seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it.
Jacob said, I have enough. Esau said, I have enough. Both of these words seem to indicate in our English language translation to the same English word, enough. Esau said, I have enough. No doubt he had worked hard for what he had. And he had flocks and he had herds. He had plenty. No doubt Esau did have enough. And then Jacob, looking on the situation, said, take the present that I offer to you, Esau, please, because God has dealt gracious with me and because I have enough. We started out by Proverbs 15:15 saying, the heart, he that is of a merry heart, hath a continual feast. Remember that Jacob had wrestled all night with an agent of God and had received a blessing from this agent, this angel, this man, whatever this was. Jacob had received a blessing from the Lord. And he said, I have seen God face to face. Now, he had not literally seen God face to face, but he had recognized that he had struggled with a force greater than himself, and all night long he had wrestled, and what the exchanges were between the two, who knows? But Jacob awoke to the realization that he had struggled not only with himself, but he had struggled with God, and God had helped him and had met him and had done some very valuable things for him. And as was mentioned in the other service, he changed his name. Not only did he change his name, folks, he changed who he was. He changed him to a different individual altogether. Now, these two words that are translated enough. The first one that Esau said, is Rab. Rab means abundant. And no doubt Esau had abundance. There is an abundance of water in this cup for this morning. There's plenty to take care of the need for this morning service. Jacob's word was Hebrew word, kol. Kol. That means the whole. That means all. Every. Big difference between those two words, isn't it? I can have an abundance of things, but not have it all. I can have an abundance of goods and not have everything. I can have an abundance of a pie, but not have the whole. If I have 3/4 of a pie, I have more than enough pie for my need, but I don't have the whole. Jacob said, please take my gift that I offer you, because not only do I have abundance, I have everything. And the reason he could say that he had everything was because, not that he possessed all of this world's goods, not that he had control of everything around him, not that he had control of the world's goods, but he could say, I have everything, I have the whole, I have more than abundance, I have all, because he had wrestled with the agent of God, and God had blessed him, and he had been able to be awakened to his need, and God had made him have a contented mind because of the ability that God had to and has to transcend the thoughts and the heart and the mind of an individual. It is so wonderful to be able to have more than just enough.
more than just abundance. It is so wonderful to be able to enjoy the blessing of God in life, where we wake to the realization that I am an undone soul. I am an undone person. And I know that I have need before God, and to be willing to humble myself before Him, prostrate myself before Him, come before Him and ask for His help, for His strength, for His mercy, for His goodness, which God will gladly impart to us if we meet the conditions. With Jacob, it was all night long that he struggled and wrestled. Folks, there isn't, hardly will there be anything worth it that has any value to it that you and I are going to speak for in this life that's not going to take some real effort to achieve it, to attain it. And if we're going to have blessings from the Lord, if we're going to have more than enough, if we're going to be filled, have it all, have everything, we're going to have to be willing to deal with God on His terms, on His level, and sometimes we're going to wrestle with Him. I'm convinced that part of the reason that there was a wrestling match going on that night was because Jacob was who he was. He was a rascal. And he wasn't willing to be overcome. He wasn't willing to be conquered. He wasn't willing to just lay it down. Now, I can understand that. If someone were to come to you just in the out of the darkness and start struggling with you, and you don't know what their motivations are, probably everything within you is going to rise up to say, wait, what's the motivation here? I'm going to do some pushback on this. I don't know what's going on, what this is about. There was more to it than that. Jacob was wrestling with an agent of God, if you will, with God Himself. And now we find, folks, sometimes, this is my testimony to you, for myself, I find myself wrestling with God. I find myself wrestling. I find myself in those places where I need things from the Lord. I desire things from the Lord. And the only way that I'm going to be able to get those things from the Lord is I have to be willing to have more of self to die. And in order for more of self to die, there is a wrestling match. No, it's not a strong arm situation. But it is my will and my way against the will of God. And I have to be willing to come to the place where I surrender my will and my way and lay that down and allow that to be put aside so that I can receive the blessing of God. And as I am willing to do that, then I attain more of who God is. And the desire of my heart and the desire of your heart, the desire of everyone in this room should be, Lord, give me coal. Give me the whole. Not just abundant. Not just enough. Not just enough water in the trough to last for 2 or 3 days. But filled. Filled to the top. Filled to whatever capacity this human frame is capable of taking, Lord. That's what I want from You. Whatever You have, whatever You can give to me, Lord, that's what I want in life. Whatever things, Lord, You want to put in my body, in this body, in this man, Lord, I desire those things. But that's not going to come without a struggle. Not at all. Back in Proverbs, Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Scripture says, they that will be rich fall into a snare. They that will be rich. What that means is, I'm going to take every opportunity, every advantage. I'm going to do everything I can to force this thing so that I will be rich. If we take that approach in life, we're going to come up short on the spiritual side. You may gain earthly treasures. You may gain earthly fame. You may gain earthly wealth and earthly goods. But if you have in your heart and your mindset is, I will be thus, 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 and it's outside of the realm of the will of God, you will suffer for that. But if I set my heart, and even to say that I will be like Christ, folks, be careful. My heart's desire is to be like Him. I want to be like Christ. If God will give me grace and courage and strength, I want to be like Him. But to set myself to the place that I will be like Christ, that's a different attitude altogether. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. There are things, folks, that you and I can do, even in religion, that are handled the wrong way. It comes through having a heart that is meek and quiet and willing to be poor. Because Jesus said, blessed are the poor in heart, poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be called the children of God. Those are things that the Lord wants us to have. Those are things that He wants to bestow upon His children. Those are the things that God wants you and me to have. He wants us to be full. He wants us not just to be enough. I could take this glass, and no more than I've used this morning, I could take it down to half or less. It'd be enough. But it's far from full. I could have enough, but be far from where God really wants me to be. I could have enough of religion in my own mind. I could have enough of God to satisfy me. I could have enough of God to think that I'm okay with Him. But if I don't seek to have the fullness of God, if I think I have enough and I can stop right there, if I don't seek to have the fullness and be filled with Him, I'm going to come up short. And this goes for me as much as everyone else. We need the Lord. I appreciate so much what God has done for us. I appreciate so much. I believe that when... I'm glad for this occasion where Jacob and Esau came together. I'm glad that they were able to reconcile their differences on that day. I'm glad for that. But I still believe this. That when they parted company, Esau still had abundance. He still had abundance. But Jacob was full. He had it all. Because he had met with God. Oh, what a blessing, folks, to be able to meet with God. What a blessing, whether it's in the night hours, whether you're going through dark places in your life, whether you're going through real difficult circumstances, and you steal away to a corner for a little while and you say nothing more than, Lord, I just need Your help. And suddenly you feel the Spirit of the Lord come down and you realize He's there. Circumstances may not have changed, but you know that God is there. That's the way it was with Jacob. He left that scene knowing that I've met God and He has helped me. He changed my name. He changed me from being a rascal like my brother Esau, like Laban. And He called me a prince. And He made me a different individual. And now as I move forward in my life, I am filled. I have a contented mind. I don't always have to turn around and watch my back. You see, the reason He sent the handmaids with children ahead and then Leah with the children ahead and then Rachel with Joseph ahead. He did that because, why? Those who went first were of less value to him. Those who went second were of a little bit more value to him. Those who went third were of even more value to him. Those who went fourth were of the greatest value to him. He was still doing everything he could to try to save those things that were most valuable to him. I can't say I blame him for that. But that's the reason he did it. He sent it that way. Because he wanted to find grace in Esau's sight. And Esau said, you remember what he said? This drove you sent before me, what is all this about? Because I wanted to have peace with you, my brother. And God blessed him to be able to have that peace. And I believe it was because he was filled. Thank you for your time and your attention this morning. God bless each one is my prayer. Please pray for me. Amen.